started the second parak on Daf Tez Vav Amud Beis, and the Gemara, in the middle of the discussion, quoted a pasuk from Nehemiah, Parak Ches. The pasuk in Nehemiah is speaking about Rosh Hashanah. It says they opened the Holy Temple, the second Beis Hamikdash. They opened on the first day Rosh Hashanah. There were 2 days Rosh Hashanah, and they opened on the first day Rosh Hashanah. And it says the way they davened and they laying Kriyas HaTorah, and Ezra was a kohen and he got the first Aliyah, and he said Baruch Hashem Amvarach, and it has the Nusach HaBracha, and everybody was standing and listening to the Kriyas HaTorah. And then after they finished the whole davening in the Beis Hamikdash, they sent everybody home, and he said Lechu Ichlu Mashmanim, everybody should eat and drink and be merry, Shesumam Takim, they should drink sweet drinks, and Shulchan Manas Le'Nochan Lo, they should give food to those who don't have any food. Kikodesh Hayom La'Adonenu, today's Rosh Hashanah, Val Tayotzu, they shouldn't be sad, and Rosh Hashanah you're not allowed to be sad, even though it's a Yom Adin, it's a serious day, because then, still, Kichedvas Hashem Hima Uschem. So the Gemara now, that's in the middle of the Omid, the Gemara quotes that Pasuk from Nehemiah Perakhet. So towards the bottom of the, a little further, the Gemara has a comment on the Pasuk. The Pasuk said, Shilchu Manos, send food. Manos usually means food that you can eat. Shilchu Manos, Lein Nochan Lo, they should send packages to those who don't have what to eat. So the Gemara has a Shaila, Maid Lein Nochan Lo, about 10 lines from the bottom. Omrav Chizde, what it means is, Lenisha Hilohindi, Acherv Tavshilin. Pashab Shat in the Pasuk, they're not talking a word about Acherv Tavshilin. But the Gemara is saying, if a person didn't, so Pashup Shat means to those who are poor, whoever doesn't have anything to eat, so be kind enough to give to the Yanim. In fact, the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchas Yontif that on Yontif there's a special inyan to give tzedakah, because that's the Kiyam HaMitzvah of Simcha, that if a person eats and drinks and is merry and he just locks his doors and he stays inside, he calls it Simcha Sakeris, so his belly is happy. But real simchas hanefesh is to be misameach those who are less fortunate, those who don't have. That's why in the Chumash, the Rambam says, that's why in Chumash it always says, samach da'ata v'halevi v'ager v'ayosam anashe b'sharecho, you always have to share with the others, that's the way to do simcha. That's why Rav Soloveitchik used to say, that the chosn has a chiv simcha, so how do you do simcha? By being misameach others, so the chosn has to say Torah. That's why the meaning is that the chosn says divrei Torah, that's why the meaning is that the chosn gets an aliyah. Why? Because whoever gets an aliyah is considered as if he's laying. The one who gets an aliyah is supposed to lay. So we have a mini, Kadesh Lalabashis Mishani Yadeya. After people won't know how to lay, so they'll have to have a Balkari for them. And those who do know how to lay, they'll lay on their own. So after people will be embarrassed that they don't know how to lay. So we appoint a Balkari, the mini of the Balaites. We have a Balkari, they lay for everybody. But strictly speaking, when the Balkari lays, using Shemeh Koin is considered as if the one who got the aliyah really lays. So whoever gets an aliyah is as if he's malami the whole kohol, those psukim. So that's why there's an inyan that a chosn should get an aliyah in the middle of Shivas Me'amishta, not by the oifuf. Chosn, middle of Shivas Me'amishta, says in the Shulchan Aruch that it's a chiyiv to give the chosn an aliyah, because he has a chiyiv simcha and he has to be misameach the others, and the way to, you should give the doctor also. But one way to be misameach the others is by saying divrei Torah, or by getting an aliyah, by teaching them, by teaching Torah to the other people. That's why it says in the Achranim you should try to get an aliyah on Yontif. You should pay money. There are only five aliyahs.
But they sell. That's what they sell on
Yontif. Yeah, because it's an inyan. Whoever gets the aliyah on Yontif is more mekayim the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, because he's considered as if he's malamed Torah to the others, as if he's teaching the Torah to the others. Is not misameach the others. Okay.
I don't have the minute to lay with the Balkari.
That's a problem. That the Rosh has this problem. Can you say Shemeh Koine? Shemeh Koine is good. Let's say you say Kiddush and I'll be Yotze. But Sof Kol Sof, I didn't say it out loud. So the answer is you can whisper Kiddush and it's also good. But to lay in Kriyas HaTorah to be Melamed L'Acherim, so I can say Shemeh Koine, but Sof Kol Sof, they don't hear from me, they hear from the Balkari. So the Rosh apparently was bothered with this, so he says, let him lay along. But the Shad, what does it help if he lays along? But they still, they don't hear the Eilel HaTorah. So it's a problem exactly how... Shaila and Shulchan Aruch, whether Suma can get an Aliyah. Right. The Ramo quotes the Binyamin Zev, the Chuvah's Binyamin Zev, one of the early Achrenim, who was a Suma, who used to dictate his tshuvas. He didn't write them, he was blind. So he dictated a tshuva that a simon may get an aliyah. Not surprising. That he passed and that a simon may get an aliyah. That Mikir Adin, the Oila Latar doesn't have to lane along. He's yaitse with Shemei Akaina. But it's a machlekes, the Rosh recommends that you should be machmer to lane along. That's why the Mishnah Berurah says, a little strange Mishnah Berurah, he says, even all year long, you make to give an aliyah to a suma, to give an aliyah to an amhoaretz who can't read without nekudah, so he can't read along. But he says on Parsha Zohar, that's deraisa. So there you should be medaktik to make sure that the oila la Torah is one who can lean along. To be machmer like the Rosh Hashita, that you have to lean along. It's a little strange, but he writes Parsha Zohar, deraisa, that someone has to lean along. Machlekes is the Rosh and the Binyavin Zev, whether a Sumo may get an Aliyah, whether an Amoritz may get an Aliyah, Hayos that he can't lean along. That's not a Machlekes on a level of their Isa. Shad in the Takon of Chachamim or Kriyas HaTorah, are you Yotzei, if I say the Brach and he does the laning? Is there a connection? How can you say, what's going on here? I said the Brach and I don't lane. The one who says the Brach is supposed to do the laning. So the Binyamin Zev says, Shemeh Kain, it's okay, it goes together. And the Rosh, the Rosh holds that it's no good. But that's a Shaila on the Takana de Rabban. It's not a Shaila on the level. On the level of the Raisa, that Parsha Zoch is the Raisa, there's no requirement that the same person, part of the Din de Raisa, the same person should say the Bracha and do the laning.
Yeah, it's a little strange. Otherwise, how is everybody else Yotzer in Parsha Zohar?
Everybody in the shul is Yotzer with Shemei
Kain.
But that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. Parsha Zohar is the Raisa, so you should be machmer to make sure that you give the Aliyah Parsha Zohar to one who will lane along because of the Machlekes, the Rosh, and the Binyamin Zeh. You should be machmer for that. So again, so the Pasha Pshat and the Pasuk is that on Rosh Hashanah there's a mitzvah of Simcha, there's an inyan of Simcha. Oh, Mr. Laufer is here. He mentioned that tonight he has Yartzei today for his mother, Aleh HaShalom. So the Shia tonight is dedicated in her memory. And her name is Moras Freide Bas Meshulam. Yartzei is Chok HaShvat. So we started to learn that Pasuk says in Nehemiah that on Rosh Hashanah there's a Chiyuv Simcha. So he told them they should give to those who don't, those less fortunate people who don't have any food to eat, Shilchumon and Slain Nochalot. That's the Pasha Pshat. So now the Gemara adds on another comment, not necessarily that's Pshat in the Pasha. Gemara adds on another comment, what if somebody has enough food, but a person forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin, and today is Yontif and tomorrow is going to be Shabbos, so today he's okay, tomorrow he's going to be up the creek, he's not going to have anything, he's going to eat coal. He'll only eat what's left over from Yontif. He won't be able to cook anything from Yontif to Shabbos. So that too is included in the Pasuk Shulchamon and Slain Lochan Lo. Even if the person is very wealthy, but he forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin, so he's also like an Ani. Today he's like an Ani. He's not going to have what to eat on Shabbos. So Amar Achizda
says Nochon, one who didn't prepare.
Okay. I mean, the one who didn't prepare the Erev Tavshilin in advance. Okay.
Could be.
So that's the first opinion in the Gemara. Amar Avchizda Lemish Leiniach Erev Tavshilin. That too is included in the passage. Not only to poor people who don't have access, and even to wealthy people who do have, but they didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, so they're going to have a problem on Shabbos to send them some food, extra food. Ikadi Amri, another version has it, just a minute. Not stam to whoever didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. No, it depends. Only Misha Lohoyu Lolaniach Erev Tavshilin. Only to one whom he wasn't really expected to make an Erev Tavshilin. Let's say he's an Am Haaretz, he doesn't know the din. Or he was sick in the hospital, he just came out, it was an Oinus, it was Erev Yontif, and he didn't have a chance to make an Erev Tavshilin. But what happens? He's not an Am Haaretz, and he was negligent, and he had a lot of time on Erev Yontif, and he just was negligent, and he forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin. Then we should not do him a favor to help him out. We're going to help him out the next time. He's also not going to make an Erev Tavshilin. He's never going to bother to make an Erev Tavshilin. So we should sort of penalize him. That's the Ika Diyam. The second version of the Gemara is only Misha Lahayla Laniach Erev Tavshilin. You only helped out the fellow of whom we couldn't have expected that he should make an Erev Tavshilin in Amoritz. The one who should have made an Erev Tavshilin and he was negligent, so it's his own tough luck, Pasheahu, and we're not going to go out of our way to do him a teva.
That would be in the second time only.
Yes. That's how the Gemara has on the next daf. On the next daf, the Gemara says, right in the middle of the daf, on Tez Zayin on the Beis, there's two dots in the middle of the daf, and then it starts, Ahu Samya. The Gemara starts the story on Tez Zayin on the Beis. Ahu Samya, there was a blind man, to have a Mesadeh Masnaita, Kamei Demar Shmuel. He used to recite braises in the presence of Shmuel. He knew Baal Peh. He used to say braises Baal Peh. This is at a time that the Torah Shebaal Peh was still not written down. They didn't write it down till way later. So once on Yontav, Chazi Shmuel saw the blind man, the Habiyatziv. He saw that it was very sad. So he said, Amayatzivas, what are you sad about? Taintas Doch Yontav. Omalei, because tomorrow Shabbos he forgot to make an Erev Tashem. So Shmuel said, Delo Yisivi Erev Tashem. Omalei. So Shmuel said, no problem. Moich Adidi. Why? Because the Gemara says that the Rav Ha'ir, that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, the Rav in the Kehila has a responsibility for his Balabatim. So it's his responsibility to make an Erev, if it's possible, up the Halacha, to make an Erev to allow them to carry, to make life easier. And it's his responsibility, if he can do it, why not, to make an Erev Tavshilin on behalf of the others. How do you make an Erev Tavshilin? So we learned last week that Erev Tavshilin, you don't have to have a Kazayis L'Cholecha B'Yechad. Let's say in one shul, they have 500 families. So you don't have to have 500 Kazayisim of food. One Kazayis is enough for all the 500 members of the community. It's just that in Shulchan Aruch they say, the Gemara doesn't say, but in Shulchan Aruch they say, he has to give the Meichel to someone else to pick up and to be Kain HaShutfis for all of the others on whose behalf he's making. Many of the Balabatim will make their own Erev Tavshilin. So let's say the Rav made the Erev Tavshilin 9 o'clock in the morning, and he was Mezak al Yidei Acher. He gave the cooked food to someone else. Not supposed to give to his wife or his children, supposed to give to a stranger. Some outside and not from the family. So he gives to a stranger, and the stranger picks it up, and he's made an Erev Tavshilin for everybody. And what if I remember, what if half of the Balabatim will make their own Erev Tavshilin? So they're going to say, Bracha Levatollah. So the answer is no. The Rav's making their Tavshilin on behalf of the others is based on Zachal Yad Mishleib Efanov. He's doing them a favor. You're not doing me a favor? I want to do the mitzvah myself. Mitzvah Bo Yosef Mishloch. I want to make my own Erev Tavshilin. So it's a taiva. It's only a favor for those who don't know what it's all about. Those who don't know what an Erev Tavshilin is. Or those who will forget to make an Erev Tavshilin. So for them, I'm doing, the Rav is doing a taiva that is Mezakeh the Erev Agdei Acher. And they're all kind of shutfis in the air. All you need is the one kazayis, and then they're all yaitzah with the rabbis there of Tashim.
18.
Yeah, the 18 groves, that's an erev to carry, an erev echatzeris. So let's say you make an erev, what we call an erev in Yiddish, is not really, in the Gemara it's called the tzuras ha-pesach. You have the poles and the strings and the fences and the mechitzes. Yeah, mechitzes make the whole area into rishus ha-yachid. But that's not enough. Then you have to put away food. You have to put away a box of matzahs, a challah that's owned the shutfas by all the Shomer Shabbos. And every family has to give a gregris. Every family has to give a gregris up until 18 gregris. Once you have 18 gregris, then you don't need another gregris for each family. Then as long as all the 500 families in the enclosed area have a shutfas and those 18 gregris, everybody's covered with the ear. The matzah, everybody has to know where the matzah is, and matzah has to be accessible on Friday evening at the beginning of Shabbos. Yeah, the matzah has to be accessible. Sometimes they leave the matzah in a location, they lock it up, and no one has the key. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara is an Erevin about that. If it's locked up, so if it's only an Issa Derabbanan to break the lock and to get to it, so then it's called accessible. But if you have to violate an Issa Deraisa in order to break the lock and get to it, then it's inaccessible. The Tshuva is about the accessibility. Sometimes under the British in Eretz Yisrael, they used to declare a curfew. So sometimes the hours of the curfew are punkt chilas haShabbos, just exactly, so no one could get to the matzahs. So Tzvi Pesach Frank lived under the British in Eretz Yisrael. He has the Tshuva, he's makel about that it is called accessible. So Shaila, why? Why is it that? It's not accessible. Nobody can go get the matzah. They'll put you in jail if you walk out in the street.
The matzah is accessible if you can.
No, it has to be accessible. Zeinash Moshes. When you kaina the Erev. At the beginning of Shabbos, it has to be accessible. If it's accessible, next day
taking. Not the jailer, but the matzah is accessible.
The okay. Matzah is accessible.
Okay.
That's different.
A ruvet chumin, everybody needs. A shear is not a kazai. So I said, you need mazon and shtei sudas. Each, if you have 100 people, you need 100 meals. If you have 1,000 people, you need 1,000 meals. Mazon shtei sudas doesn't mean a whole package
whatever
meal. Mazon shtei sudas means, let's say you want to use pickles for an erev chumen. So how many pickles would a normal person eat in 2 meals? Let's say you want to use ketchup. How much ketchup would a normal person use in 2 meals? You want to use, let's say, chicken. How much chicken would a normal person eat in 2 meals? Challah. How much challah would a normal person eat in 2 meals? So the Mishnahs have a lot of details. If it's potatoes, if it's kugel, if it's cholent, if it's flesh, if it's challah, how much would a normal person eat? That's called mazon shtei sudas. Whatever food you're using, it should be the amount of food that what a normal person would eat in the course of 2 meals of Shabbos. And then Taisa says that's the top Taisa on Tazayin and Beis. And then if you want to make an erevei tchumen to go chutz tchumen, you want to make an erevei tchumen for one person, you need so many pickles. You need 5 pickles. You want to make for 20 people, so you need 100 pickles. You want to make for 100 people, you need 500 pickles. There's no maximum. As many people as you have, that's how many units of food you have to have. So the Gemara tells the story that Shmuel was the Rav in the Kehillah, and he always used to be Mezakeh his Erevet Tavshilin on behalf of all of the people in the Kehillah. So the Sumer, who used to come to him and recite the brises for him, one Yontif had forgotten to make an Erev Tavshilin, so he was sick. So Shmuel said, no problem, you can follow Zahani. Then the Gemara says, the next year,
he also forgot.
Lashana, the next year, Chazi Dehavi Yatsiv, next year he sees that he said again. Omalei Amai Yatsiv is what he said, Dr. Deloy, see, Erev Tavshilin, forgot again to make an Erev Tavshilin. So he said, sorry, I cannot help you. Amalei Pasheyat, I already told you last year, so now you forgot. So Lekuli Al Mishari, everybody else, all the Balabatim have a right to rely on my Erev Tavshilin. And Lididochasa, because you should know better. He's the Gemara Talmud Chacham. The fellow, a Balabasa doesn't know, so you can't expect. Talmud Chacham comes to learn with Shmuel every day, and he recites the Brises Balpeh to tell Shmuel. So he should know, even though he was a Summa, he should know better. He should have been paying attention. So it's a Knas. Yeah, it's a Knas. That's a Shailan Shulchan Aruch. Is this a Din? Is this a Din Lederis? That is the halacha, that whoever is a Posheya, the Rav Zev Tavshilin doesn't help. Or does it just mean that Shmuel had it in for him? Shmuel had a taina. So Shmuel said, I didn't have you in mind. But if the Rav is a kind-hearted Rav in the Kehil, and he has everybody in mind with the Poshim also, so then it is good. That's what the Taz says in Shulchan Aruch. The Taz thinks that it's not a halacha azaz. It's nitaz adin. The two strikes and you're out. You can only rely on the Rav Zev Tavshilin if you learn it. If you learn it and you're Ben Torah, then we only give you one break in your lifetime to rely on the Rav Zev Tavshilin. But twice already you can't rely. So the Taz wants to say it's a machlekes achrayim. Many achrayim want to say it's not a din. Shmuel said that was his attitude. Yeah. I don't know. If you have 2 days yontif, then you can be masna. But if it's 1 day yontif, then it's Shabbos. That's it. I don't know. There's what they ask on the Rashi. Rosh Hashanah ha'yo. I don't know. So that's the shaila over here. The Gemara has the Ika Diamri on Tezvavim Abed that whoever was a Pasheya. So there's no mitzvah to help them out to give them a break.
Maybe if you don't have Rosh Hashanah, if you have 2 days. Yontif, you can make a tonight.
And you have to have shilin now tonight, yeah.
If today is Yontif, I can cook tomorrow. If tomorrow is Yontif, I can make an erev shilin today. But the Rosh Hashanah, you can.
Doesn't help, yeah. That's what Rashi says. So he asks Akash, but what if Yontif is Friday and Shabbos? Not 2 days Yontif, Thursday and Friday. Not 3 days in a row. 2 days in a row. So he asks Akash, it could have been any Yontif. There's nothing to be mastered about. Friday and Shabbos, or Fafa. So if you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin on Thursday, so you finished?
What we do well?
Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, Rosh Hashanah can't be on a Friday.
Well, well, not only now, right. But
now,
time of Shmuel, they still did.
They still did Al-Pi-Ariya. That's a question. As much a kitsch Al-Pi-Ariya, where they medaktik on the law, adu Rosh Hashanah. So Shalad, the Rambam and other Rishonim have a discussion about that. Also not clear. Yeah. No, 2 days. Not going to be 2 days.
Not Shabbos.
Shabbos
and Yom Kippur should be one of them.
If the Shana comes out on a Wednesday, for instance.
Yeah.
So then you can have Yom Kippur come out on a Friday. That Friday.
Shabbos.
You don't want to have 2 days in a row. Yeah. The Gemara says that there's a concern of Nesayah, that when a person dies. On Shabbos and Yom Kippur, you don't bury it all. On Yontif, you bury Ayde Goyim. And the second Yontif, you bury Ayde Eden. And the first day Yontif, you bury Ayde Goyim. But on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, you don't do it all. So the Gemara had a concern if you're going to have Shabbos next to Yom Kippur, going to be two days in a row, that won't be able to bury Mason. So that's why they always avoid. They rig Rosh Hashanah in such a way that Yom Kippur should not fall neither on a Friday nor on a Sunday. Because you'll have the mason sitting around for too long. And then the Gemara says the other consideration is that you don't want Hashanah, very strange, you don't want Hashanah Rabbah to fall out on the Shabbos, because then you'll be losing the clapping Hashanahs. Such a concern. Yeah. Clapping Hashanah is only a minute. Yeah. And the shaking of Lulav.
Shaking, we can lose.
Kia Shafer is a mitzvah deraisa. We're not worried. He said, Taisis Farempis. Tais says, no. You didn't blow a Shafer on the first day of Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos, you blow Shafer tomorrow. Hi, tomorrow is only the Rabbanon. No, but at least you blow Shafer. Let's say, you didn't shake a little the first day.
The
mitzvah of lulav deraisa is only the first day. So the first day of Shabbos, you shake a little the second day. But Hashanah Rabbah is only one day Hashanah Rabbah. So that's what Taisa said. That's where they were more concerned about the Klapan Hashanah. Still strange. I don't know. So that's what the Gemara says. Shulchan Aruch Slein Nochan Lo means you have to do tzedakah. That's why there's an inyan to make an appeal on Yontif, to make an appeal for tzedakahs. Special to make an appeal for tzedakah from the Iman Yontif. That's why the minig is that you say Yisker on Yontif. Mm-hmm. The minig starts from giving tzedakah on Yontif. So once you're giving tzedakah, so the minig developed that you may as well mention in the schus of the tzedakah that I'm giving, this should be farechent as a schus from my ancestors who taught me, who brought me up at Derech HaTorah by Yira, and they taught me to give tzedakah.
So
but it starts
only the last day. Why don't you do also the first day?
So the Prima Gadim says the minig is that you give the tzedakah on that day on which you're laying. Ishki matnas yodai that you should give. That's why it's called matnas yod.
In Eretz Yisrael you never lay that, right? In Eretz Yisrael you never lay aset aseya.
They never lay aset aseya? No, I think they lay it on the...
Oh, they lay it before.
Not on the last day, they lay it on the Shvi Shal Pesach, not on Achron Shal Pesach. They don't lay in a low aset aseya. I don't know.
Yeah, sure, right.
On the seventh day of Pesach, yeah. Kvesnish, I don't know. So this whole minig developed in Chutzlois. Yeah. All these minhagim developed in Chutzlois. That you make the appeal on the day on which you lay in Ishki Matnas Yodai by giving tzedakah. Kivirkas Hashem Lokech Shon Olam Lach. The wealthy people should give more tzedakah, the poor people should give less tzedakah. Everybody has to give. That's another consideration, right? It's another consideration. The one consideration is that you give tzedakah on a yontif as an expression of simchas yontif, to be mishat of the other people. That's how the Rambam writes. And the eighth sora, that's what the Rishonim say on the first daf in the Dorim, if you look in the Rif, on the first daf in the Dorim, he quotes the discussion in the Gemara. The pasuk says in Kehelas, "Tov asher lo tidor mishetidor v'loy tishal." It's better not to take a neder at all, rather than to take a neder and not to fulfill a neder. So, what if the person takes a neder and he does pay up?
That's better.
So, is that better, or is it still better? Tov asher lo tidor. It's still better. So, that's a machleg zameir Reb Yudah. Do you say tov mizeh mizeh? The best thing of all, shein anar di kol iker. Oh no, tov mizeh mizeh noider olikayim noider mishal. So, that's a machleg. So, we pass and tov mizeh mizeh shein anar di kol iker. Best zach is. not to take any dormant oil. You want to give tzedakah, give tzedakah. Don't take a netter, just give the tzedakah. So that's how we assume. So the shot is, but why do we make Misha Berach, Babush, and Adar? Why do you make an appeal in a shul? If it's Tov Mizem, Mizesh, and then call Iker? So Shaila. So on the first daf in the Rif, on the Dorim, in the Gemara, in the Dorim is not the first daf, it's later in the first parak. But on the Rif, it's the first page. So they reshine him on the side of the Rif. They have the Ritzvan and the Mukiyasis, they both talk about this. So they give these few suggestions. So one suggestion they give is the Taisus on the first daf in Chula in quotes a Medrash. It says, Vayida, Taisus and Chulan, that based on the base quotes in Medrash. Vayida, Yankif, Neda, Leymar. What does it mean, Leymar? Vayidab Hashem al Moshe, Leymar. Leymar means Leymar li Yisrael. We usually say in the Lord, spake unto Moses, saying. But the word Leymar means saying. But the Gemara says that that's not what it means. Vayidab Hashem al Moshe, Leymar li Yisrael. The Rabbanu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the Eden the following din. Leymar means that the Rabbanu Shalom authorized him to tell us, and if he wouldn't have given Moshe Rabbeinu authorization to tell us, it would have been forbidden for him to say it over to us, because it's the Baal Tayma. Whenever anybody tells you anything, it's assumed to be confidential unless he gives you authorization to say it over. So the Medrash says, what's pshat by Yira Yankif Neda Leymar? What's pshat Leymar over there? Leymar means saying. It doesn't mean Leymar Lachem. So the Medrash says, no, by Yira Yankif, or Yankif is running away from Esav. So Bayida Yankiv Neder, he took a neder. I told me Zemze Shenanoida Kaliker. What did he take a neder? He says, Kolasha Titan Lee is going to give Aser Aser and is going to pledge us a lot of money to Tzedakah. How is he allowed to take a pledge to give money to Tzedakah? So the answer is that it's a mitzvah leader be Ace Tzora. He's running away from his brother Esav, he's afraid he's going to kill him. So it's a mitzvah to take Nidorim when the person is Beit Tzora. Maybe in the schus of the neder, he will be nitzel. So that's the pshat. Vayida Yankif Neder Lema Ledoris, to teach Bnei Yisrael throughout all the future generations that it's a mitzvah leader b'yitzor. So that's what Taisus quotes in Medrash on the first daf in Chulin, on that base, because the Gemara Chulin also quotes this Machlek Zabudin and Reb Meir, where the Tov Mizeh Mizeh Shenanoida Kolika Tov Mizeh Mizeh Shenanoida Mishalem. So the Nemuki Yosef and the Ritvo on the first page in the Rif on the Dorim both quote that. So they say that on Yontif, the minig is that we make appeals because it's an Eis Tzara. What's the Eis Tzara? Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Yemei Hadin. The Kol Olam Kulo is Nidon. And the Pesach Nidonim Al Atvua, B'chag Nidonim Al Amayin, and Meshavuos Nidonim Al Teres Ilon. So the Mishnah says that all of these Yomim Tovim are Yemei Hadin. So Yom Hadin by definition is an Eis Tzara. The whole world is Eis Tzara. So they say that's why there's a special inyan to take Nidorim for the Dokke. On Yemei Hadin, that's not the Rambam. The Rambam gave a different time why it's a mitzvah to make an appeal on Yontif, out of Simchas Yontif. The Yisker is out of Simchas Yontif. That's how it says in Shulchan Aruch. That saying Yisker is an expression of Simchas Yontif. The minik started on the day on which you say Matnas Yad, the day on which you say Lein Ishki Matnas Yadai, they make an appeal, everybody should give money to the doctor to be Mekayim Simchas Yontif. And then Derech Agav, once you're giving money, once you're pledging, you're not giving money, once you're pledging to give money to the doctor, they may as well say that this should be farechent as a tzchus for Pliny Pliny who raised me. So it comes out that the reciting of Yisker is a fulfillment of Simchas Yontif. People, a lot of people don't realize that. They think that Yisker is at the Seder time. And some people think, well, you say Yisker and you don't give a pledge. No, the whole is Iker Chasam and Asefer. The whole Yisker is in the tzchus of the pledge of tzedakah that I'm giving. It should be farechent as a tzchus. But if the person saying Yiske is not giving a pledge, it's garnishment, garnish. What's he saying Yiske for? The whole meaning started by giving the pledges to the Yanim.
Yeah.
But the Shabbos and the Shuls, they make Mishaberachs on Shabbos also.
Yeah.
So Shabbos is not a Yom Adin. Shabbos and Shabbos is no Chiyav Simcha either. Chiyav Simcha is only on Yontif. So how do you make a Mishaberach on Shabbos? That's the Shaila. How do you say Babush Anoda? See, we say Babush Anoda Bli Neder. Okay. But we say Babush Anoda, Nishkin Bli Neder. So what's the heter over there? So on the first daf in the Dorim, the Nemuki Yosef with the Ritvo, they both say if the Gabbai keeps records of who pledged how much, or who pledged, not forget about how much, he keeps records who pledged, and he sends you a letter in the mail, and he pesters you. You didn't pay up your pledge. So then, that's okay. Then it's permissible, because the whole prohibition Tov Mizeh Mizeh Shein and Noda Kalika because of the Chashash, you may forget, but if someone else is going to remind you, then you're not going to forget. So it's taka an inyan that the gaboyim have to keep records. They have to keep cards, and a lot of shuls there, they keep cards, and whoever got an aliyah, they take out the card, and they remind them, they send them a letter. You took a pledge, and you have to
you
pay
make
up.
A pledge to a shul. What's the lesson you use? You make a shabbat to send them to a shul, or a kari, or a gabbai, whatever.
Yeah.
They sell the aliyahs, right?
Okay.
What's the lashon
you
use there?
In the Mishabera? Yeah. Whatever, Babush and Adol Beisach Nesses?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to say, same thing. Whatever you want to say, same thing. Same thing, same thing. No, same thing. Okay, that's the Gemara that we learned. Then the Gemara wants to know, what does it mean, the pasuk continues? The pasuk in the Nechemiah says they should celebrate Yontif, Rosh Hashanah, Ki Chedvas Hashem, Hi Mauschem, rejoicing with the Rabbanu Shel Olam will be your strength. So rejoice on Rosh Hashanah, Al Teyatzfu. You're not allowed to be sad, you should rejoice on Rosh Hashanah. Some Chassidim and Shemais had a minute to cry on Rosh Hashanah, to do tshuva. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon that it's not permissible. And he quoted this pasuk, Shteid Al Teyatzfu, you're not allowed to cry. Chedvas Hashem goes on Rosh Hashanah. Chedvas Hashem, Hi Mauschem. Right, that's what yes, I can. Someone asked last week, how can it be goyim how to practice the fast on Rosh Hashanah? Shteid Teferish, L'chuyich L'mashmam Shtumam Ptakim, says everybody should eat. So how can they have? I don't remember. You have to look in the Tshuvas HaGoyim, probably on this daf. What? No, that's another thing. No, those who enjoy fasting better than eating state they should fast on Shabbos also.
Sorry.
They should fast, that's their right in Shabbos. They fast on. But most people that we are familiar with enjoy eating better than fasting. So that's the shaila. So how can they say you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah? Isn't it against the pasuk? I don't know. You have to look in the Tshuvas HaGoyim, what they explain. I don't remember. So the Gemara comments on that pasuk. What does it mean? Chedvas Hashem Hi Mauschem. Rejoicing with the Rabbanu Shalom will be your strength. Amar Rabbi Yechon Mishum Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yechon was an Amora who never saw Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon. When it says Amar Rabbi Yudah Amar Rav. Amar Rabbi Yudah Amar Shmuel means Rabbi Yudah said he heard from Rav. Rabbi Yudah said he heard from Shmuel. And when it says Mishum, so it means he never saw him. He says over in his name, he heard in his name, but he never heard directly from him. Amar Rabbi Yechon Mishum Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon. Lozer Rabbi Shimon, son of Rabbi Shimon by Choy. That was a few generations before Rabbi Yochanan was in this world. So he said. So what does he say? Omer lahem Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Chedvas Hashem Hi Mauschem means like this: Bonai kinder meine lavu alai v'katshuk dusha sayon v'haminu bi v'ani pareya. The Rabbanu Shalom tells us Chedvas Hashem Hi Mauschem. Rely on the Rabbanu Shalom; he will take care of you. What it means is, Rabbi Yochanan says, what it means is if a person can't afford to pay for a Sudas Yontav, he's a poor man, he's an Oni Vehavi, he can't afford, so what should he do? Can he borrow money on the smach that he doesn't know where he's going to get the money to pay back? Does he have a right to borrow money? Let's say he's going to make a big chas and he's going to borrow money for everybody, he's going to buy an automobile and rent a big apartment, he's going to follow Zachanis. So that's not right. What right does he have to spend so much money? But what about to borrow money from others? But Tzorche Shabbos V'yontav, is that permissible? So Rabbi Yechanan claims, in the name of Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon, that's what the pasuk says. Ched Vas Hashem Hi Mauschem, they should lavu alai, borrow money and falos l'chanmi v'ani pare. I will pay the debts. That's the Pashup Shad. Lavu alai v'katshuk dusha sayoyim and celebrate Shabbos and Yontav. V'aminu bi, trust in me v'ani pare. The Miri Yepis has a Shver Pshad. The Miri says, v'katshuk dusha sayoyim only goes on Kiddush. You can borrow money in order to buy wine to make Kiddush.
That's it.
But because he's bothered with Taisus Kasha. Taisus Rekta Kasha. Here it says in the Gemara, borrow, right. The little Taisus says.
Yeah.
Borrow money in Falozach on a nest that the Rabbanu Shalom is going to pay you back. Aye, but there's another Gemara that says, Asei Shabbat Chachol, Vazit Tarech Labriyas. If you have nothing, if you can't afford a Suda Shabbos, eat a hard piece of pumpernickel and a glass of water. So you won't have chance, so you won't have gefilte fish, so you won't have anything. You'll eat nebuch what you eat in the weekdays. You'll eat the same on Shabbos rather than beg for a charity. Don't beg for any charity. So Tesfek Takasha, what do you mean beg for charity? Let him borrow money from the bank. Let him borrow $100 from the bank and have a big splash and do whatever he wants, and the Baruch Shalom is going to pay back. So what do you mean? I say Shabbat Chachol, Vatis Tarech Labrias. don't beg for tzedakah, he won't have to beg for tzedakah. The Baruch Shalom promises that he's going to see to it that he's going to pay back. That's the kasha. So the Miri says, the teretz is, that the Gemara only said it, lavu alai, the kachuk dushas hayam, only for the purpose of saying kiddush. But if he's going to have more than kiddush, he wants to have fish and flesh and soup and kugel and shalin, at kidei kachnish. The Taisis does not hold from that. None of the Rishonim go like that, Miri. They all learn kachuk dushas hayam is not it doesn't mean kiddush. It means celebrate Shabbos and Yontif. So that's the kasha. Why does it say about titzarech labriyos? What kind of titzarech? He's not going to have to bar. He's not going to have to ask for a handout. He's not going to ask for tzedakah. The Gemara says bar money from the bank, and the Baruch Shalom will see to it that they'll pay back. And for Taisvis, that Gemara goes hanimili kishen lo mimi. So the Vilna Gaon says mimi little boy. The bank doesn't want to lend him the money. Everybody in the city is poor. Nobody has any money to lend him.
Oh, he's not a credit worthy.
No one wants to lend him any money. If he'll ask for a nedava, they'll give him charity. The brayer is, should he ask for charity and make the Shabbos a little more b'chubadik, or should he live like an oni? So the din is, if a person is really a nitzrach, he has no food to eat, so he's allowed to ask for a nedava. But if he has food, he can pull through on Shabbos like he pulls through on the weekdays, but it won't be Shabbos dik. So that's halacha. It's not proper to ask for tzedakah in order to make it Shabbos dik. It's better to lead a life like on Shabbos like on the weekdays. That's how the Vilna Gaon says the correct reading in the Tosfos should be. And for Tosfos, kishen lo mimi lil vos, if he has no one to borrow from. But if he has whom to borrow from, what do you mean he doesn't know where he's going to pay back? That's what the Gemara says, that you don't have to worry. The Baruch Shalom is going to see to it that the chayv will be paid back.
For that reason, you can say this about every oni. Why should we have a collection and make, give him money, send the money to him? Let him go borrow, Hashem will pay him. Better credit it.
No, the Gemara only says, Lavu alai vani pareh for tzorchei Shabbos v'yontif.
I mean for tzorchei Shabbos.
Okay.
So we don't have to for tzorchei Shabbos to provide for people. Let them go borrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're saying.
But he's not credit. He has no credit.
No, let's say he has credit. I mean, what
that's what the Gemara says. Unless we see that it's just not working. If he's not working, then you have no prayer. But before you see one way or the other, you should assume that it is going to work. You should assume that if he borrows money, the Rabbanu Shalom Bahani, we should have emuna, aminu bi, trust in the Rabbanu Shalom. If we see that he's not doing his job, Rabbanu Shalom is not paying back, so then he should stop borrowing money and follow us on this nest. I don't know. That's a good question. The Gemara says it with respect to Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's the last line on the daf. Tani Rav Tachlif Achud Rav Noi Chuzo. He presented a brisa that says that the first line on the next daf. Kolmas and Oisav Shalotim Ktsuvin Lo Mirosh Hashanah Le Rosh Hashanah. How much money you'll be earning during the course of the year is determined at the beginning of the year, except for Chutz Mehatzoy Shabbosus V'yamim Tovim. That's not included. The Gemara says that you don't have to worry about, even though you only earn so much money and you really don't have, based on your salary, can just barely make ends meet, and you really don't have enough money to buy flowers special for Shabbos, or to buy special beged for Shabbos, or to have such fancy. This balabasta likes to light 65 candles on Erev Shabbos, and she has a kugel and a cholent and a this and a that and so many other things, and they can't really afford it. So when it comes during the weekdays, you can't afford it, so don't spend all that money. Live like a poor man, don't live like a gvir. But when it comes Shabbos and Yontif, you should live like a gvir, because whatever you spend on Shabbos and Yontif doesn't count, is not included. The Rabbanu Shalom promises that he's going to pay back. And Hoitzos Bonov, the Talmud Torah, the tuition that you have to pay in the yeshiva is also not part of the cheshbon. A person should never zhalav it. And what he's going to give Chalimu, the Gemara says that's not included in the Gzerim in Hashemayim, how much money he's going to earn during the course of the year. The tuition for the children is not included. So what is included? He wants to buy another suit, and his wife wants to buy another pair of shoes, and she wants another dress, and another car, and another this, and another trip, and another vacation. So that, the person has to cheshbon, how much money does he have? If he doesn't earn so much, then don't spend so much money. But whenever you're talking about Hoitzos Talmud Torah, or let's say Tzedakah, not, you don't say Tzedakah like that. But that person earns so much and he gives way more Tzedakah than he can afford, and he's relying on a miracle that the Rabbanu Shalom will give him back the money. That doesn't say in the Gemara. Every year when they have the Kerem V'Yavna dinner, So Mr. Hochstein always makes a calculation that, how does it say? Aser ti aser, aser bishvil shetis asher. So he always gives the same drasha every year. Make up your mind how much money you want to make this year, and donate one-tenth of how much you want to make to the yeshiva, and then you multiply it by 10, and that's how much you'll make during the year. So that's a good drasha. But that doesn't say in the Gemara that the Rabbanu Shlomo is going to pay you back. That's not included in the memory in the Gemara.
But doesn't say that. Kechos of Hashem and kechos of Apsilo.
That what?
Because he only thinks that he's saving money. Actually, he's not saving any money because this is provided for in Rosh Hashanah.
Okay.
Kechos. It only looks like it.
Looks like it. Okay. That's what the Gemara says. Hatzor Shabbos V'yontev is not included. Hatzor Shabbos V'yontev is also not included. Shin Piches Pichsen Pochsen Lo. If he Jalavis for Shabbos and Yontev, so they'll give him less Parnasa during the course of the year. Dim Hoysif Masifen Lo. And if he spends more, they'll call the Shabbos and Yontev, then they'll see to it that they should give him an Ashamayim, they should give him more. My Krah, where does it say that in the Pasuk? That's a good question. So the other Pasuk, Ched Vasashem Himuuschem, is only Rosh Hashanah. So you ask, where does it say for the other Yom Tov? So the Gemara quotes another Pasuk that's also only Rosh Hashanah. I don't know. No. The Gemara quotes a Pasuk, My Krah, how do you know? Not that Shabbos Yom Tov is the exception to it. How do you know that Mizanas of Shalad Maksuvim Lo Rosh Hashanah? How do you know that the Gzar Din is determined on Rosh Hashanah, how much money the person will earn during the course of the year? That's the question. My Krah, where does it say that that too is Nigzam in Hashamayim? How much parnasa a person will learn during the year? So he says, the Pasuk says, until him tikov achayde shoifa ba kesel yom chagenu kichok li Yisrael hu mishpat adakei yankin. So we know, the Gemara is going to say, we know that that Pasuk is talking blow shoifa on Rosh Hashanah. Obviously. You don't blow shoifa on Purim, you don't blow shoifa on Pesach, you blow shoifa on Rosh Hashanah. And then it says, kichok li Yisrael hu, and chok means the parnasa.
Yeah.
Chok means how much food you're going to have to eat. So state that on Rosh Hashanah is nigzar, how much parnasa the person will make. How do they see that that's what the mashmos of the pasuk is? So the Gemara says, tikva v'chodesh shofar, blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh, v'chodesh, bakese liyom chagena. That's a shvere word. What do you mean bakese? What do you mean bakese liyom chagena? The Gemara says kese means covered up, l'chasos. Eze uchag. So what's covered up? What's covered up?
That's the moon. The moon.
So Rashi learns the Levon is covered up. Rashi learns Vashra de Levon. Yeah. So Taisus Taina is, if it means like Rashi that the Levon is covered up, so Zolstenazai de Levon. What does it say? Shachoidish miskasabo. Zoldigmozog shahalavon miskasabo. So that's what prompts Taisus to give other pshat. So he says that Rabbi Natam says, Shachoidesh miskase boy, what does it mean? Shirashchoidesh misdamein boy. That which yantif always, which rashchoidesh is it that falls on a yantif? Coincides. Not miloshin miskase covered up. Not like Rashi de Levan is covered up. Kese means.
Happens to.
His domain, it happens, it occurs. And Gans in a different shot. Not miloshin kise. But most of the Rishonim didn't learn like that. Rabbeinu Chananel, Rabbeinu Tam is the question, who's speaking now? The Rabbeinu Chananel problem. Most of the Rishonim learned miskasa means covered up, but they didn't like Rashi's pshat either. Shachodesh miskasa bo de levon is covered up. Zolstein de levon is covered up. But that's why Tesis quotes the Rabbeinu Meshulam. Rabbeinu Meshulam Piresh miskasa bo and Rosh Hashanah Rosh Chodesh is hiding. What, in what sense is Rosh Chodesh hiding? On a normal Rosh Chodesh, you bring 11 musafim. You bring 11 musafim. 10 of them are oilers. You look in the siddur. It says you bring 7 kvasim and 2 elim and 1 I forgot already myself what. And then it's 1 par I think la'oila. And then you bring soy rechod lachatos.
Yeah.
Then you bring soy rechod lachatos. So you bring 11 Musafim, 10 of them are oilers, and one of them is achatos. Let's see, Amusav Dikishman Esrei for Rosh Chodesh. Here it is. V'rosh Chachechem Tekriv Oila Hashem Paimen Abakishnayim Ayel Echod Kvas Menishan Hashivet Mimim. There are 7 kvasim and 2 porim and 1 ayel is 10. Kvasim in this came. Then it says V'soyer Lachaper. So you give 11 musafim, 10 are oilers and 1 is achatos. And on Rosh Hashanah, it says you bring the musafim of Rosh Hashanah, And then it says, Melvad Oilas Achodesh Uminchasoi, but Oilas Achamin in Minchasa. And it doesn't say a word about the Soya Lachatas. It says you only bring 10 on every Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh. It's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So it says you bring the Musafim of Rosh Hashanah and Parshas Emor in addition to the Musafim of Oilas of Rosh Chodesh. Melvad Oilas Achodesh Uminchasoi, Oilas Achamin in Minchasa. And it doesn't say. The chatos, oilas achedush is 10 oilas, but what about the one chatos teitnish? So Rabbeinu Mishulam says that's what it means. Achedush miskasabo, rosh chedush is swallowed up. It's hidden in the sense that you don't bring the soyer lachatos on Rosh Hashanah. That's quite a chedush, huh? Oh, so we don't paskin like the Rabbeinu Mishulam. That's what Taisa says. The last line in Taisa says. The last line, V'chein tikkun, the Rabbeinu Tam said the Rabbeinu Mishulam was wrong. He used to disagree all the time with the Rabbeinu Mishulam. V'chein tikkun lo mishnei sirim kil chasam. The Rabbeinu Tam says the Rabbeinu Mishulam is wrong. One for Rosh Hashanah Musaf and one for the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, right. So Rabbeinu Mishulam said, Achodesh miskasa, miskasa means covered up. It's hidden. In what sense is it hidden? You don't bring all of the Musafim of a normal Rosh Chodesh. You only bring 10, and the 11th one you don't bring. So Taisa says that it's against the Tosefta. Picture Rabbeinu Tam, the Tosefta lists off how many Seirim Lachatas they bring in the course of the year. So it says, well, it's either every Yontav you bring a Soir Lachatos, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, every Yontav you bring a Soir Lachatos, Shabbos you don't. And then every Rosh Chodesh you bring, and then how many Rosh Chodesh are there state? Well, it depends. Shana Pshuta, Shana Waber. So it's Shana Pshuta, so there are 12 Soya Lachatas for Rosh Chodesh alone. And if it's a Shana Waber, there are 13 Soya Lachatas. Pashut. So Taisa says, often it gets Tosefta against the Rabbeinu Mishulam. Rabbeinu Mishulam says, if it's Shana Pshuta, there are only 11 Soya Lachatas, because on Rosh Hashanah you skip one. And if it's a Shana Waber, they're not 13, they're only 12. That the Beferish at the Sefta against the Rabbeinu Mishulam. So he's wrong. He says Rabbeinu Mishulam is wrong. Picture Rabbeinu Tam, the Tosefta in Shavuos. And Mishnah Shavuos talks about these karbonas that were brought. So the Tosefta in Shavuos lists off all the serum. And it says Beferish, Hashanah Pshuti, he bring 12 serum for Rosh Chodesh. And the Shomer Beres, he bring 13, is Beferish against the Rabbeinu Mishulam. So Rabbeinu Mishulam got stuck. Rabbeinu Tam always used to send them, correspond with him. He used to attack him. So he likens up, he says he never said it. Can stick in a hand and a leg and a belly, can stick in a little at a time. And he made a whole pshetl on a pasuk in Chumash. Rabbeinu Tam said, he sent him a letter, I'm going to put you in Chayrim. What, are you crazy? He made a pshetl. So he said, I didn't say la locha. I just said a suggestion. He said a suggestion. No, but it's a good word. He said, if you look there in the parsha of Temeim, where's the parsha of Temeim?
Mitzayra.
In parsha's Mitzayra. So it says, when the Zav is Tevel and Mayim Chayim, it says, Baruch, it says, Besoroi. Baruch, it says, Besoroi. And when the other people are tevel in the mikveh, it says v'rach, it says kol b'sora. So when it says kol b'sora, it means v'im shekol gufo elohem v'basachas. You have to submerge the whole body under the mikveh one time. That's how the Gemara says. Kol b'sora. Kol means the entire body has to be submerged under the water of the mikveh one time. But by the zav, who is tevel in mayim chayim is not a plain old mikveh. Mayim chayim is where most of the water, spring, most of the water comes from under the ground sources. There it doesn't say kol. So he made such a diuk, Rabbeinu Mishulam made a shtikl tera diuk, that then you don't need mayim shekol gufo elohem v'basachas. So Rabbeinu Tam sent him a letter, you must retract, or I put you in cherem. So he said, he sends him back a letter, there's nothing to retract, I never said it alach l'maisa. I said it's only a pshetl. So he sent him back a letter, and the Sefer Yosh, he sent it back. You're not allowed to say it even as a pshetl. He said it's false. You're not allowed to say it as a pshetl either. They said over things, they lived in different cities. They used to say over things from the Rabbeinu Mishulam to Rabbeinu Tam that got him irritated. And he always used to liken up Zeros. So he said, I never said that you don't bring the Soya Lachatas. He knows also you bring it. I said that in the Chumash it's not mentioned, it's hidden. Shachodesh miskasebo, the korbanos of Rosh Chodesh are hidden. It's like a secret. The Chumash doesn't mention it. The Chumash doesn't mention it. Why Taka doesn't the Chumash mention it?
We have Mishlo Yom HaKeseh, that means to a set date. Right? We'll come back for Yom HaKeseh, a set time.
Yom HaKeseh, Yom HaBeisin, right? Yeah. Tosis
Kosi.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Tosis Kosi. On the fixed day, on the set day. Rabbi Yosef Engel has in one of his drushes, in his Shabbos Shuvah drush, I think, on this Rabbeinu Meshulam. Why is it kept a secret? So he tells to the Gemara has a comment on the soyer lechatos that you bring on Rosh Chodesh. It says chatos lashem. Yeah. The lashon is chatos lashem. So what do you mean chatos lashem? So the Gemara has a lashon in chulin. Haviu alai kapare al shemiyatati yisayreach. That the Rabbanu Shlom had ba'avul to yareach. He cheated the yareach. That originally there was Shnei Moris Hagdelim, they were both gigantic, and then all of a sudden he gives a patch to the Erech, and it's Mamayt Erech for no good reason. So the Rabbanu Shlom says, I'm clapping Al Chet, I'll be one like a par al Shemiyat Tisarech, I have to be Mavakish Mechila. So Rabbi Yosef Engel says that that's the Pshat over here. That's the Pshat in the original version of Rabbeinu Meshulam, that you don't bring a Sori Lachatus on Rosh Hashanah. Or that you do bring it, but it's not mentioned. The Chumash does mention it. Why? So he says, on a regular Rosh Chodesh, when there's nothing doing, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Rosh Chodesh Adar, Rosh Chodesh Nissen, when you bring the Soyer, Lachatos, so it's obvious that the Yareach will be appeased. Why then are you bringing a Soyer Lachatos? Because it's Rosh Chodesh and it's the Yareach. The Mio Talavana means that it disappeared and it's coming back. The whole idea of Rosh Chodesh is that it's the Mio Talavana. The Levana doesn't stay the same size, it keeps on getting bigger, smaller, bigger, and smaller. So it's like a nikir that this soyer is brought l'kavod Erech. And Rosh Hashanah, that memeinan, it's Rosh Hashanah. The Jews are celebrating Rosh Hashanah. V'haraya, they're bringing another soyer l'chatos on Rosh Hashanah because of the karbanos hamasaf on Rosh Hashanah. So the Erech will not be appeased. So it won't be satisfied. So he suggests maybe that's why the Rabbeinu Meshulam, the original version was that you don't bring at all the soyer l'chatos.
That's going to be
the soyer l'chatos because the Levanim will not be appeased anyway. Or even if you say that you do bring it, but it's not mentioned in the Chumash, because the Yerech is not going to be happy. It's not so noticeable. It's not so nicker, because the Velt at Meinen that the Chattas is brought because of Kavod Yontif, not Kavod the Yerech. What does that mean? Bechalal Haviu Alayb. Strange. So on the side of the Gemara, they write Yesh Maimar Azeh Sod. So Apikabola. What does it mean Apikabola? The member of Soloveitchik once said, I'm not familiar. Rav Soloveitchik said that in Kabbalah Svarim, he said when we say Kiddush Levana, we say a Tefillah that we're crying about the matzav, what a terrible matzav it is in the world. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheimale Pigimus Alvana, V'lo Yibashom Miut, V'yor Alvana Kerachem Kiyoshiv Ismei Bereshit, Shmar Shoshu Shnemar, Shnemar Is Hagdolim, and so on. Rav Soloveitchik said, from all of the aggravation in the world, from all the suffering that the Klal Yisrael suffered, all the programs worried about the Levana. We have to worry about the Miut Halvana, that we have to cry every Rosh Chodesh, Shetemale Pigimus Halvani Voshom Miut. There's so many other more pressing issues. So he said in Kabbalah Svarim, it says that the concept of Miut Halvana simply represents Tzadik Veral or Rosh Hashanah. The Levana says, Vos binich shuldik. I didn't do anything. I'm a tzaddik veral. What did the Rabbanu Shlom punish me? I didn't do anything wrong. So the truth of the matter is, that's a very good explanation why he punished the Levana. Because the Medrash gives a whole story. We don't know. The Levana came to complain. The Levana was angling that the Rabbanu Shlom should bump off the Chama. Should bump off the Chama. So the Rabbanu Shlom says, you miserable Levana. So he was Mamai to Levana. But the outside world doesn't know the whole story. The outside world looks now Rachmanis on the Levana. It's Nebuch Tzadik Veralo, Rosh HaVetovlo. What did the Rabbanu Shlom babble the Levana? So the Rabbanu Shlom says, I can't explain it to the people. Everything I do has a good explanation. There's no such thing as Tzadik Veralo, Rosh HaVetovlo. I can't explain it. If the people would have a perspective of everything that's happening, they'd understand all of history from the beginning to the end, they would see that it's Tzadik Veralo and Rosh HaVetovlo. There's no such thing as Tzadik Veralo, Rosh HaVetovlo. But from their perspective, I did an Avera, so what can I say? There's no teretz like that. There is a teretz, but I can't explain the teretz to you. That's how some gedolim interpret based on the Mor Nevuchim. The pasuk says in Parshas Kisisa that when Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hodieni noas derachecho. So the Gemara says in Brachas he was asking to explain Tzadik Rala Rala Shav Tovlo. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Barisa Sachairai Ufanai Lo Yiro. Yeah. So what does it mean, Barisa Sachairai Ufanai Lo Yiro? I'll allow you to look at the back of me, but I won't allow you to look in the front. But Islam doesn't have a body. What do you mean you look at the back, you look at the front? So the quote in the name of Samik Dunham, what it means, when all of history will be unraveled, and then you look at everything in the perspective of the whole history of the world, in retrospect, then you'll see the way everything fits into place. In advance of everything being unraveled, you can't understand it. So that's what the Baruch Shalom says. I can't explain it to you now. I can't explain it. That I ba'aveled the Levana. That's how Rav Soloveitchik thought. That's how he said that it says in Kabbalah son. I'm not familiar with the Kabbalah son. But he said that's what it means, the Mir Talvan. So that's what Rabbeinu Meshulam says, Pshat. Ezu Chag Shachoydesh Miskasabo, that Rosh Chodesh is hidden. Rosh Chodesh is hidden in the sense that either there is no Soya Rosh Chodesh or there is a Soya Rosh Chodesh, but it's not spoken of. You don't mention it. And then Tosis has at the end another pshat, the Yesh Mefarshim, the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Mem says, when you daven on Shmon Esrei on Shabbos on a Yontif, you have to mention the fact that today is Shabbos and that today is Yontif. What if it's Yontif Shechali is B'Shabbos? You have to mention the fact that today is Shabbos and that today is Yontif. So what if it's Rosh Hashanah and it's Rosh Chodesh? So you have to mention the Yom Rosh Chodesh Hazeh, the Yom Hazikar, we call Rosh Hashanah Yom Hazikar. So the Gemara says Medarfnish. The Gemara says the Gemara has a Shaila. The Gemara says no Zikar and Echad Oyle Lakan Alakan. You just mention Yom Hazikar and Hazeh, and you don't have to mention explicitly that today is Rosh Chodesh, because that's self-understood. Rosh Hashanah always includes within it Rosh Chodesh. So that's Pshat Ezu Chag Chodesh Miskasaba. Which Yontif is it that you don't speak about Rosh Chodesh, that it's self-understood? That's Rosh Hashanah. That's how they quote the Yesh Mefoshim. So these are the four interpretations in this phrase. In Rosh Hashanah and all the different Mesichtas, they give all the four different Shotim. How do you translate that line? But our Kopan, the Gemara says, that Pasuk in Tehillim, Tikkun V'Chodesh Shofar, is clearly talking about blowing Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And then the Pasuk ends off, Kichok LiYisrael Hu. What does it mean? On this day, it will be determined how much parnasa everybody will make. How do you see that the word chok has the connotation of parnasa? Umay mashman dahei chok lishna de mezainehu. How do you know that it means parnasa mitzvah? Yochel schukam ashenasan lahem paroi. Par does get dealt food to everybody. Mazucha has a different pasuk. Hachifeni lechem chuki. He asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him a parnasa. So you see that the word chok in Tanakh sometimes means food. Sometimes means food, yeah. There's a sefer Chok Yankif on Hilchas Pesach on the bottom page of the Chok Yankif. So his brother-in-law wrote Hasogis on him that's called the Chok Yosef. The Chok Yosef. So others have a taina. Chok Yosef is what he gave the Galochim. So they have a taina. Why did he call the name on the sefer Chok Yosef? Chok Yosef in the end of Bereshis is the parnasa that Yosef Hatzari gave to the Galochim. What's phenomenal though? No. So they have a discussion. Is there anything wrong with having a biblical name of a sefer like Mogen Avraham? Mogen Avraham is the Rebbeinu Shalom. Mogen Avraham. How can he call the sefer Mogen Avraham? So they say, so what's wrong? So he called it. His name is Avraham, and he wrote a chibur on the Shulchan Aruch to defend the Shulchan Aruch. So it's the Mogen Avraham. Doesn't have to correspond to the. The Mogen David, the Taz, the name of the Sefer of the Taz, also strictly, is not really called Turei Zohar. The name of the Sefer is Mogen David. Mogen David is also the Rabbanu Shalom. Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogen David, the Brachas and Haftar. So they have the same time. How can they have the chutzpah to call the name of the Sefer Mogen David? That's why the Delta Dongenum in the other Sefer, you call it the Taz. The Delta Nemt on the other name, you call it the Taz. You don't call it the Mogen David. And the late Achraim says, in Ishgefelach, what's wrong? He's not claiming that he is the Rabbanu Shalom. You name the sefer, whatever you call.
You call the Mogen Avraham.
We do call it the Mogen Avraham. Yeah.
So, because he's opposing, the Taz is opposing him, he didn't want to call them both.
Stechemin was the Shaila that it spelled Sin Dalad Yud and it looks like Shakai. So they had a taina. Why does he call the name of the Sefer Stechemin? And they printed on the outside of the book, here and here. Shin Dalad Yud looks like Shakai. So I think in the second printing, they insisted that they should put in the Nekudas. So it says Sidei with a Sin and a Shvor. Sidei Chemet. So no one should make a mistake and think that it's Shakai. Right. Nunu. That's a different taina. That people will be Moshe Shem Shamayim Lo Atola because they'll think that the name of the Sefer is Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here the Gemara discusses preparing for Shabbos, because the whole idea of Erev Tavshilin is you should prepare in advance, start to prepare for Shabbos before Yontif begins. So the Gemara says, what about Taka, the Inyan of, forget about a Yontif coming next to Shabbos, stop, in the middle of the week, what's the Inyan of preparing in advance for Shabbos? So the Gemara quotes what seems to be a machloikis la'alocha between Shammai and Hillel. Tanya Omer Olav al Shammai HaZokain. Shammai HaZokain had the following practice, Kol Yomov, this was always his practice, Hayo'echa le'kvot Shabbos. Whenever he ate l'kvot Shabbos. What do you mean? On a Tuesday supper, he ate l'kvot Shabbos. How do you eat l'kvot Shabbos? So he explains. No. On Sunday, he finds a nice chicken, a nice fish, whatever. So he sets it aside for Shabbos. And he doesn't eat it. But then, Monday, he finds something nicer. So he says, okay, I'm going to save the nicer one for Shabbos, and the other one I'll eat. The other one is not nice enough for Shabbos. I have nicer. So he ate l'kvot Shabbos. He ate up the inferior quality food, L'Kvot Shabbos. Matzacheres no heimena, when he finds a nicer chicken or a nicer meichel, Menichas Hashnia, he sets aside the better one, V'echelis HaRishaynos, it comes out that he's eating in the food, is also L'Kvot Shabbos. So all week long he would always be preparing and negotiating Shabbos. Al-Hil HaZokin disagrees, and he holds no, Midacheres HaYisrael had a different policy, Shkol Maisel L'Shem Shemayim, Shenem Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. What does it mean, Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom? He didn't start setting aside food on Sunday for Shabbos. Every day he ate food, and Erev Shabbos, he looked around if there was food. He would go shopping on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos. He didn't start preparing anything. So it sounds like it's a machlekes b'shamay misilu, and it didn't should be like the b'silu, that you're not mechuyev to prepare so far in advance. So that's what the Rishonim ask on Rashi. On Parshas Yisro, on the Aseres Adib, Zachas Yom Shabbos L'Katshe, Rashi writes, Zachareyu, that already from Sunday, Monday, all week long, you should start preparing in advance for Shabbos. So they ask, what are they paskin like? Beishamai. Not Beishamai. Machleg Shammai and Hillel. The paskin is like Shammai against Hillel. So some say that even Hillel agrees that it's better to do like Shammai. Lachatchile mitzvah min amufcha to do like Shammai. So that's very difficult. Mitzvah min amufcha. So why didn't Hillel do it? If there is a mitzvah min amufcha, why didn't Hillel do it? So why does it? So what is Rashi paskin like Shammai? That's what they ask. What is Rashi paskin like Shammai? So I remember the Rav once said over a teretz from the Netziv, and they quote the Ksav Sefer, quotes the teretz in the name of his father, the Chassam Sefer also. The Rav said over, I remember the Loshen that he said. He said, it's not a machlokes lahalacha between Shammai and Hillel. The Gemara says, Ava Hillel lazaka midach eres hoysalo. He had a different attitude in life. It depends what your attitude in life is. So the Rav said, do you put away savings in the bank? Do you have life insurance? So then you belong to Shammai. Hillel never worried about the future. Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom. Never worried. So if you're such a person who never worries about the future,
then you can
do like Hillel. So it comes out of Shabbos and the Baruch Shalom will find. But if you do have savings put away in the bank and you do have life insurance, so then you're Shammai. So you got to do. It's not a machlekes la'alocha between Shammai and Hillel. Rashi was a Shammai man. Rashi was like us. He put away, he got life insurance. He put away money in the savings. So Rashi writes Lala. Of course, if you have the attitude in life like Shammai, then the din requires you have to treat Shabbos like something. You have to plan ahead. If Rashi would have had the attitude like Hillel, he would have written like Hillel. But he knows that all of modern, that's how the Rav said, all modern man already leads a life. Nobody leads a life like Hillel anymore. We all do like Shammai. So you got to do the din like Shammai. That's the deal kaloshim that the Achreidim say. Don't say a machloikis. It says, Abel Hillach, Zokin, Midach, Eres, Hoysalo. She called Maisa the Shenshan. He had a different way of leading his life. So, Mamele, the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Zokin, Hamashab, is Lakatshe, Shtavzachais, differently. Zan Yamami Hochi, there's another Bryce that repeats the same idea. Beshama Yamim Echad Shabecho, l'shabbatecha, already starting from Sunday, the first day of the week, you already have to start preparing. In other words, the Gemara is saying not only was this a difference in approach between Shammai and Hillel, their yeshivas also maintained the difference in approach. That the whole yeshiva Beis Hillel also had the same attitude. None of them put away money for the future. It's a different way of living. Yeah. I remember I had a classmate who learned in the yeshiva with us. Then he went to Eretz Yisrael. He was a malamed in the yeshiva there. And he had a big family. And he died at a very young age. He died from cancer. And he left an almana with so many children penniless. Mama, she didn't have a penny of savings. So they said, what's going to be? Nebuchadnezzar. So we sent out letters to all the alumni, and people sent in so much money. It was over $500,000. They sent in enough money to take care of the almana, to marry off the children. So I remember someone, and they were sending it to my address. I was opening up all the letters that people sent, comments, whatever. So one person sent in, some person in life insurance, said, alumnus from the yeshiva sent in a letter. He's not going to send any money because he deserves whatever he got. Given anar a tipish, that he should have put away money and savings, and this should teach the wife a lesson. That, but it didn't teach anybody a lesson. He had more at the end of the collection. He had more money than I had. Nebuchadnezzar, he's not alive, but
he's punishing the wife for what the husband did.
See, he led a life. This fellow was like a holy tzaddik. I remember him. He led a life like Hillel, but we're normal people. We do like Rashi, like Shammai. We all put away money for the future, so we have to prepare for Shabbos in advance also.
He life insurance policy. Yeah. He should have given her a life insurance policy.
Yeah. As a matana. Yeah. Nothing more has an interesting discussion. If a person gives a matana to somebody else, so why does he give him a matana? What prompts him to give him a matana? Chibah v'reyus, wants to create friendship. Is it necessary that he should notify the person that he's giving the matana? So the Gemara says, what does he have to notify? The person will realize. Let's say I send a matana, and I write a card, and I don't write my name. But they know my handwriting. It's obvious who it's from. I send some food, I send a cake. And they know where the cake is from. Everybody knows the cake is from the next door neighbor. So there's no need to sign your name. If they'll understand who it's from, it's okay. If they won't understand who it's from, and you want to accomplish chibah v'reyus of hashteitzach, you have to say who the matan is from. So that's what the Gemara makes a distinction. It's not necessary to notify the person. Shenemar, it says, when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, he was zechet to the karni hod. His face was shining. Not like Michelangelo thought that he had horns. Kikoran or Ponov. He thought Koran is a Karen. Koran means it was beaming. His face, Karne Hod, his face was beaming. So that was a matana, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that his face was beaming until later on. The people couldn't take it. So they said, yes, the Moshe, please cover over his face. He used to wear a masva. Such a strange thing. When he said over the dinim to Bnei Yisrael, it didn't bother them. His face was beaming when he said over the dinim. As soon as he stopped saying the dinim, and he started to talk about the weather and the baseball game and the politics, whatever, then they couldn't take the karni hod. So he had to put on a masva. But when he went into the oil moit to speak to the shechina, there was no problem. And when he said over the dinim to Bnei Yisrael, there was no problem. That's what it says. The end of Chumash Mos. It was noticeable, it was obvious to the whole Klal Yisrael that his mom is shechina medaberes mitoch gronim, because when he said over the halachas, the karni hod didn't bother them. And when he stopped saying the halachas, the karni hod bothered them. So at the time that he came down from Hasidah, he himself, Moshe lo yada kikoran upon his Bnei Shalom, didn't tell him. Why didn't he tell him? Because he's going to find out soon enough. In a matter of a few hours, he's going to realize that Bnei Shalom gave him this matana toivav karni hod. Big markasha meisvei. The pasuk says when the Rebbe Shlom gave the din of Shabbos, so it says Ladas ki ani Hashem mikadishchem. What does it mean? Amala Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe, Matana Tali Yesh Lebi Beis Ginoza. I have a special matana of Shabbos that I want to give to Bnei Yisrael. Shabbos Shmoa, the name is Shabbos. Ani mevakesh litna liYisrael. But first, I want you to tell them in advance that I'm going
to
give them this special matana toivo. Ladas means lahaydia, lahaydiam. Go notify them that I'm going to give them the matana. So the Gemara asked Akasha, what do you have to know if I'm going to give them matana?
They
give
me
Shabbos, they'll observe Shabbos. They'll know that Shabbos is a mitzvah min ha-shamayim. What is the need to tell him in advance that you're giving him a matana? The Kan Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, and that's in Pasalitinik, Tzogla Adiyalima. You have to tell. You have to tell. So Tzach Hastir with before. If you'll be able to, let's say, I gave something to my next door neighbor's baby. The mother will know that one of the neighbors was nice enough to see the baby, or to give the baby a toy or something, but the mother will not know which one of the neighbors did it. So then you should notify the mother that there should be chiba bereis. They should know that you were the good neighbor who gave the matana. See, here also, when the Rebbeinu Shalom gave the Shabbos, if he wouldn't have notified them in advance, they would not have known. No. They wouldn't know that he gave Shabbos.
Said,
What do you mean? Frank Gemara, Shabbos is Matana Davidali, is going to give him Shabbos. And Gemara, no. Of course they'll understand they're going to get Shabbos. They wouldn't realize. They won't realize what a tremendous reward one gets for observing Shabbos. So then the Gemara gives later on, the Gemara talks about. Well, I'll skip a little bit here about giving matanas to the baby. How do you notify the mother? Okay, the Gemara talks about it. So then the Gemara says a little later, Amar Rabbi Yechon, Mishimim Shim Bayichoi. That's Rabbi Lozab, Rabbi Shimon's father. That's way before Rabbi Yechon's generation. He's saying over what he heard in the name of Rabbi Shimon Yechon. Kol mitzvah shenasalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisal nasalam b'farhesya. All the mitzvahs were given in public and all the Yumas HaOlam knew about it. It was public knowledge, like when the Aseres HaDibros were proclaimed. So everybody heard about it. And all the other mitzvahs, nothing was a secret, except for Shabbos. Shabbos was kept a secret. Chutz min ha-Shabbos shenitan lehem b'tzino. How do you know shenem? B'inei b'emidei so lo yisiliyon. Special, private. So that's what the Gemara asked Akasha. How can it be? Father Aseres HaDibros, how can it be? The Gemara asked Akasha, Ihochi, and if it's private, so how can we hold the Nochrim responsible? Rashi quotes the Gemara of the Zohar and Davbei. He says that Lasi Lavoi, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish all the Yom Asalim. Why? Halamai? They weren't interested in accepting the Torah. It was all offered to them from A to Z, and they rejected it. But if Shabbos was kept a secret, maybe if he would have told them about Shabbos, they would have accepted Shabbos. So why do you hold them responsible for not accepting Shabbos? So you have to assume that Shabbos was given in public, and it befrata was part of that Aseres HaDibros. Aseres HaDibros, the whole world was shaking. Kol Olam Kula was shaking. Everybody heard about all the Aseres HaDibros. So how can it be that it's a contradiction? Beini b'emini so is kept a secret. We know it's not so. Ihochi feg markash lo len should nochem alok. Why should the nochem be punished for not volunteering to accept all the mitzvahs, including Shabbos? It should be 612 mitzvahs, not Shabbos. Shabbos is one mitzvah that was never made public, so why are they all responsible? And for the Gemara name, Shabbos, Aduya, Dina. They were notified about Shabbos. Everybody knew about that. Oh, but the Matan Schara, Lord Dina, like we said before, the Matan Schara, Bnei Yisrael would not have realized on their own, if not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was Lodas, Lahodia, Ki Anei Hashem Kaddish, from that they were never notified. Then the Gemara says, Ibai Seyman.
There cannot be an Einish for the Akum.
I mean, if they would have realized what a gebaldige matan schar, they should have accepted it at face value on the matan schar, on the matan schar. And then the Gemara suggests, Ibai Seimi, maybe matan schar nami odina. Maybe they were even told about matan schar. Maybe what's the secret, the deep dark secret? Maybe is the neshama yisera concept. The fact that on Shabbos there's a neshama yisera, maybe that's the secret. Beni b'nei Yisrael, that's lo yadin. So Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, on every Erev Shabbos the Baruch Hashem gives a neshama yisera, Mitzvah Shabbos the neshama yisera goes away. Here's the famous Rashi. Rashi says, what's pshat neshama yisera? What does it mean? So he says, Roichav halev lemenucha, or the simcha, relaxation, v'lios pasuach lerevocha, more than he eats during the whole week, and he doesn't throw up. He doesn't yet. Yeah. People eat more on Shabbos.
He doesn't gain weight.
Doesn't gain weight. Yeah. Okay.
You want a pet?
Well, that is part of the neshama yisera.
Okay.
Rashi says it's both. Rashi says the combination of both. Rashi says the combination of both.
I eat with the chums.
It's also on the
house. Okay. Huh? Yes. We'll leave that next week. We'll start. Then the Gemara is going to go into the dinam of Erev Tavshil. The end of Parshas Mishpatim, the Chumash has the description of exactly what happened at the Mount Har Sinai. What happened on that occasion? So the Gemara explains that on Har Sinai was a Maisa Geirus. All of Klal Yisrael became Geirim. There's no such thing. We say there are two kinds of Jews. There's a Jew who's born naturally a Jew, and a Jew who was born a guy, and he converts and he becomes a Jew. So the halacha says that everybody has to be a ger. Everybody becomes a Jew by virtue of a maisa geris. Either it's my geris, or my mother's geris, or my mother's mother's geris, or my mother's 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 geris. Someone had to be megayer. We are all descendants from gerim. The geris of our ancestors, our mothers, 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 all the back at Har Sinai, that's what makes us be Jewish now. They had to all be megayer. So the Gemara says, in fact, that we learn out all of the dinim of geris today from Har Sinai. The Gemara says, the pasuk says, kachem kager. There's a pasuk that says, just the way I treated you, that's the way I treat a ger. What do you mean, kachem kager? Ma v'seichem la'nichten sulebris, se'leb milo t'vilo v'hartzoz damim. Just like our forefathers at Har Sinai. How did they become gerim? They had to have milo. Where did they have milo? Not at Har Sinai, they had the milo before Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then they had to have t'vilo. That was at the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai, because the pasuk says at the end of Parshas Mishpatim that Moshe Rabbeinu was derek the dam on Bnei Yisrael. Vikach Moshe chati adam ayasim ba'agonois. He took half of the dam and he put it into a klisharis. Vachati adam zarak al hamizbeach, and then it says he sprinkled the dam by Yisrael al ha'om. He was derek the dam on the people's body. On the body. That's the Targum Onkel says, not like the Gemara. Targum Onkel says. Uzrak al mad b'chol ha'par al amo. Vayizrak al ha'om means if Yizrak on the mizbech to be mechaper on the yom. But the Gemara increases, quotes Tanoim who don't learn like that. Vayizrak al ha'om means if Yizrak the dam on the Bnei Yisrael's body. Ugemiri, we have a Kabbalah, Torah Shemal Peh, Deleka hazor beloy tfila. You can't be maza anything on a person's body unless he prepared in advance and he had a tfila and a mikvah in advance. So it's assumed that everybody in Har Sinai had to have tefillah. It said the married people had to have tefillah. Yeah, those who are married because of Paleta Shechmazer and the Balkari weren't permitted to participate in the Gila Shechina unless they have tefillah. What about the single people who are not Paleta Shechmazer and not a Balkari? So who says that they had tefillah? So that's the Gemara learns it off in this pasuk. By Yizrak al Ha'om, he was Zerik the Dama and the people of Gemiri. We have a Kabbalah, we have Allah Moshe Misinai. The lek azor b'lo tefila. So the mila was in Mitzrayim, and the tefila was for everybody right before, even for the single. For Gerus.
Yeah.
So I'm asking, where does it say that they all did tefila? The pasuk only says that the married people had to do a tefila for the kovod hashchina. So how do you know? The Gemara is developing that idea. How do you know that it's true? So the Gemara learns it out from this pasuk.
Yeah.
The pasuk says, "By Yizrak al ha'om, he was zerik the dam of the korban on the body of the people." The gemiri we have alach l'moshe m'sinai, the lek azal b'le tefila. That's how you know that they have tefila. And then, of course, they screamed out nasa v'nishma. That's the kabbalos on mitzvahs. And then they had to bring these korbanos. They had to bring a series of korbanos. So that is the din l'daris also that any ger who any non-Jew who wants to convert has to have first kabbalos on mitzvah. Has to promise to observe all the mitzvahs at there. Then he has to, if it's a man, he has to have tefila, milo. If it's a man or a woman, they have to have tefila and a mikveh. And then they're supposed to bring a korban, just like at that time they brought a korban. The shayla said, "More effect our shayla said, 'Bizman hazeh, ain't based on English kayim.' So how can you mean the kabel gerim? So the Gemara says, yeah, but we are mekabel gerim bizman hazeh. The Tanoim, the Mishnah talks about the fact that they continue to be mekabel gerim after the korban by sheni." And the Mishnah says one of the takonas of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was about that the whole sugya there increases. That a ger who was mizgari after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the practice used to be, they used to set aside money. They thought the Beis HaMikdash was going to be rebuilt soon. They used to set aside, designate money to bring the korban oilos hager. So he did away, he abolished that practice. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was mevatel, that's one of the nine takonas of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. It was mevatel the roiva hakan, the money that they used to put away to buy the revias hakan, the money they put away for the purpose of purchasing the carbon oil. So the Gemara asks, how can there be such a thing is Kabbalah's ger mizman shein beis hamikdash kaim. So the Gemara says no. The pasuk says v'chiyogritchem ger l'doraseichem. So the pasuk speaks about the possibility of accepting a ger throughout all the generations l'doraseichem. And the Chumash speaks about the possibility of a churban beis hamikdash and the teichecha in the chukaisai. It says v'hashemos yis mikdashaychem. So the Chumash speaks about the fact that there may come a generation. There is a possibility. There may come a generation where there won't be a beis hamikdash. V'hashemos yis mikdashaychem. And I won't accept any karbonis. So how can you be mekabel a ger v'chiyogaritchem ger l'doraseichem? How can the same Torah speak about accepting a ger throughout all the generations if the same Torah speaks about the possibility of a period where there won't be a beis hamikdash? Yeah. So obviously the hakrovas hakarbonis is not niyake. That's a famous machlokes in Europe before the war. What does it mean? This man shein beis hamikdash kayim, the hakrovas hakarbonis is not miyakev. Means whatever you can't do is not miyakev. So let's say a man wants to convert and he has a condition, a medical condition, that the doctors say he's not allowed to perform a bris milah. To perform a bris milah, he'll die. Has a heart condition or he has hemophilia and it's a sakana. The man is going to die. So do you say whatever you can't do is not miyakev? Just like the karbon is not miyakev, so that's also not miyakev. So one of the great gedolim, Hotkepaskin, the bitzel upon it as a paskin, that a goy can convert without doing bris milo, whenever it's impossible to do bris milo, so he can convert with her. So the Sridei Yesh quotes the story that Rav Chaim Oizer once went around collecting money for the yeshiva, so he visited a factory of a wealthy balabos, and he gave him a donation. Then it turned out that the balabos was a ger, and he's very proud of the fact that he was a ger, and he had a ksav geris hanging on the wall that was signed by Rav Yitzchak Lapanovezhe, and he writes a shtikl Torah in the ksav geris that despite the fact that the goy was unable to perform bris milah, we paskin that he's Jewish without the bris milah, just like if he lived his man shein beis hamikdash kayim, and it's impossible to bring the karbonis or the geris hischal without the karbonis. So the bris milah is not makif either whenever it's impossible to do. So Rav Chaim Oizer was so angry, so he sent a letter to Rav Yitzchak Lapanovezhe. He should not paskin any shaylos. He said they didn't accept. He was a big bal machadish. He was a big rosh yeshiva. He was a very original thinker. But when it came to psak halacha, he said a lot of things that the other gedolim did not accept at all. Rav Chaim Oizer and most of the paskin held that it wasn't correct at all. Karbonis is different. Even mizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayam, the karbonis were not miyakev in the geiris. He became a geir with the milah and the tefillah. The kabbalas hamitzvahs, the karbonis, the Gemara calls it a mechusri kapara. Mechusri kapara means he's Jewish, but he's not allowed to eat karbonis. I don't know if he can't go into the basement. He's not allowed to eat karbonis until he brings the karbon agir. But he's Jewish. He can be mitzar from Tominyan. He's fully Jewish even before he brings the oilus agir. So Bishman Shein Beis Hamikdash Kayim, he's also going to be Jewish, so he won't eat any karbonis. We don't have any karbonis today anyway. But the bris milah is dachmakev. How can you say that? If you say there's no water in the world, let's say there's no mikveh in the world, so you say the tefillah and the mikveh is not makev. You can become a ger just with kabbalas on mitzvahs. But that's why most of the poskim did not accept Rav Yitzchak Lapanovezhe's gevaldik gechiddush. But the Gemara learns that all the dinim of geiris, lederis, throughout all the future generations, is based on today's sedra, the end of mishpatim, that you need the kabbalas on mitzvahs, and you need the milah, and you need the tefillah, and all of this is liikuvah.
It seems very strange that Rabbi Yisrael Ben Zakkai is making provisions that next year there will be Beis HaMikdash.